Thank you, and thank you for your patience. The last talk is impact of nitrogen fertilization on apple tree growth, fruit development, and cider fermentation kinetics by Adam Carl from Cornell University.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thanks everybody for waiting so long. I know we're a little over schedule. I hope that things will move on time after that. So I do research on apple orchard management and environment with the idea of trying to improve fruit quality for the hard cider industry. So as a little bit of background, hard cider has traditionally been a very important beverage within the United States, but with the Industrial Revolution and urbanization, and then later on with Prohibition, the cider industry was all but wiped out. However, it's experiencing a resurgence recently. Here's a map of all of the cideries in the United States. There are currently over 700. The industry has grown over tenfold in the past decade and now has annual sales over $1.5 billion. So that's pretty encouraging for all the cider lovers out there. Now, craft ciders are traditionally made with a blend of different apple cultivars. These provide different aspects to the beverage, so acidity, volatile aromatics, sugar to provide alcohol, and tannins. And tannins and polyphenols are a really important aspect to give ciders mouthfeel and bitterness. They're not very common in the normal culinary apples that are traditionally grown, but there are a number of cider-specific cultivars that are really high in tannins. They're colloquially called spitters because when you bite into them, they're just really bitter. They're pretty unpalatable. You just want to spit them out. And they haven't been widely grown in the United States for over a century. Here we have a photograph of what apple orchards used to look like on the right, taken in the early 1900s. So you have these really big, dense canopies. People break on their necks on ladders to get up there. And these were minimally pruned, minimally managed, and not fertilized. On the left, we have a photograph of a modern high-density spindle orchard. These have much thinner canopies. They're much more intensely managed, more intensely fertilized. And so the question is, what's the best way to grow cider apples, looking for the characteristics that are important to cider makers? So those would be higher tannin concentrations and potentially higher nitrogen levels of yeast assimilable nitrogen that would aid in fermentation. The research hasn't been done to take a look at what are the best way to grow these apples. And furthermore, there is a scientifically unfounded notion within the cider-making community that these larger, unfertilized trees, lower yielding, the trees have to suffer more and they produce better fruit with more flavor, better aromatics, similar to the wine grape industry, where they think low yields provide the best wine. But we found that at least in viticultural research that this has been largely unfounded and doesn't really hold water. It's a nice romantic notion, but not necessarily true. And so the question arises for apple growers that want to start growing fruit for the burgeoning cider industry: what's the best way to grow these trees? So one big question concerns nitrogen fertilization. And so in the spring of 2016, I started a study investigating different fertilization rates of golden russet and Madal d'Or apple trees on G30 rootstock. I used calcium nitrate fertilizer applied in two separate applications 2 weeks apart in April. I had a low, medium, and high application rate of 28, 56, and 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. I'm in the middle of my third field season right now. So we've been making the same fertilizer application every spring. The trees were in their second leaf when I started the study, so we had our first harvest last year, and we'll be having our second harvest this coming fall. I've been measuring tree growth, yield, fruit quality aspects, juice quality aspects, total and precipitable polyphenols, yeast system of nitrogen, and I also conducted fermentations of the golden russet juice this past fall and took measurements of fermentation rates and hydrogen sulfide production. So first, moving to tree growth, nutrition, and yield, we found that over the past two growing seasons, there has been an increase in trunk cross-sectional area of the low and high treatments over the control. The medium, I'm not quite sure exactly why it didn't grow as well as the other ones. You can also see what the apples look like here with Medalla d'Or on the top and golden russet there below. But it's encouraging to see that we've seen a difference in tree size over these past two growing seasons. We've also seen greater leader growth in 2016 than the control. We haven't found any differences in foliar nutrient concentrations, including nitrogen. And we haven't seen any differences in yield or yield efficiency from last year, and we're still waiting to find data from the harvest coming up this fall. As far as fruit and juice characteristics, we didn't find any differences in fruit mass, juice titratable acidity, or pH, or juice-soluble solids. I did find that fruit maturity was a little bit more advanced in the high nitrogen treatment than in the control. The flesh was less firm, and there was less chlorophyll fluorescence, and we had more advanced starch degradation when we harvested everything on the same date. And then when I took a look at polyphenols, I have measured them in two different assays. On the left, I show the results from a full in situ assay of total polyphenols. The Medalla d'Or is the light blue, and the golden russet is in purple. You can see that Medalla d'Or has much higher levels of polyphenols and tannins than golden russet, but there is no significant difference in polyphenols. And then I used a methylcellulose precipitable tannin assay that uses a carbohydrate to precipitate tannins out of solution. The full in situ assay is really common, is commonly used within the cider, traditional cider literature to look at polyphenols, but the methylcellulose assay precipitable tannins is perhaps more interesting from a sensory perspective because we're more interested, polyphenols are a large class of compounds, and the precipitable tannins are the chemicals that bind with the proteins in our saliva when it's in our mouth, and then they fall out of solution, then that increases the coefficient of friction in our mouth. So it gives the sensation of dryness and mouthfeel. So taking a look at the precipitable tannins is especially important from an industry perspective. But we haven't found a difference in precipitable tannins either. Talking a little bit about nitrogen use in fermentation, yeast assimilable nitrogen is very important. Yeast use it in order to grow, reproduce, convert sugar into alcohol. And if there isn't sufficient yeast available nitrogen, you can have sluggish fermentations or have defaults. Yeast assimilable nitrogen, or YAN, is composed of two parts. One is primary aminonitrogen. These are organic forms of nitrogen, with the exception of proline, because yeast aren't capable of metabolizing proline under anaerobic conditions, which is what a fermentation is, as well as ammonia. And so it's these the organic and inorganic component that comprise YAN. And then hydrogen sulfide is a common problem within the cider industry. It is a gas that's produced from the yeast reducing sulfite to sulfide, and then the sulfide is combined with other amino acids to form sulfur containing amino acids, methionine and cysteine. So it's thought that if urine is if urine is deficient in methionine or in cysteine, then you'll reduce the sulfur, the yeast will reduce sulfur, and then some of this will escape the cell to make the hydrogen sulfide rotten egg smell, which is a big common problem within the cider industry. And we're trying to understand why this happens and what we can do to try and prevent it from occurring. So I fermented the golden russet juice in replicates in 200 milliliter batches. You can see in the right there. And so the graph I'm showing here is the concentration of yan in the different treatments for both varieties of the juice, and then the production of hydrogen sulfide in the on the line in the golden russet fermentation as the green line. So you can see that we had increased yan in the higher nitrogen treatments, and we had decreased hydrogen sulfide production. So that is encouraging to see that through work in the orchard, we can reduce the amount of hydrogen sulfide being produced in the cellar. And I sent the golden russet samples off to a collaborator at Virginia Tech to do some UPLC analysis of amino acids. And here's a result of the composition of of the primary amino acids in different samples. It was a relatively small sample, and so I actually did not find a statistical difference between these. However, it was at a significant level of p.051, so right on the line. So it seems that there's a trend here. And also, I saw that asparagine looked like it was making up most of the difference. When we had increased fertilization, most of the difference was being made up by asparagine. And I did find a significant overall effect of asparagine, but post-hoc analysis didn't find any individual differences between treatments. So this is preliminary, and the study is going on, and so I'm hoping to do more of this analysis, and I should be able to, hopefully I'll find a more definitive trend. Something interesting and a little puzzling that I also found was there were no detectable amounts of cysteine, which is one of the sulfur-containing compounds, amino acids I mentioned, but there was methionine. There was no difference in methionine concentrations between treatments, but when I made a linear regression model of methionine on the x-axis to hydrogen sulfide, I didn't find much of a relationship. It was an R square of 0.22, and it wasn't a significant effect. However, if you look at the figure to the right, that is methionine divided by the amount of total amino acids in the sample compared to hydrogen sulfide on the y-axis. It's a significant trend in an R squared of 0.66, which isn't great, but it's okay. And it's a little puzzling to me because I would hypothesize that if you had more methionine relative to your other amino acids, that you would have less hydrogen sulfide production, but I'm actually finding the opposite of that. So that's a little puzzling to me. Perhaps the overall volume of amino acids is more important than what the individual constituents are. But so this is something that, if anyone has any ideas or would like to talk to me about this, I would love to hear what you have to think about this, because it's a little puzzling to me, but it's also pretty interesting to see something that you didn't quite expect. So in conclusion, we found that nitrogen fertilization has increased tree growth, it increased juice yan, and it decreased hydrogen sulfide production during fermentation. And we haven't found an impact on total or precipitable polyphenols. So all of this suggests that there isn't a detriment to fertilizing your trees, which is what the colloquial knowledge and reputation about growing cider apples has traditionally said. As I've mentioned, this work is ongoing, and so I'm looking forward to seeing how these trends overplay over more growing seasons. And I'm also looking to do HPLC analysis of polyphenols to see what the composition of these different compounds are between the different treatments. Yeah, thank you.
Right. Questions for Adam?
I have a quick comment. You mentioned that your high nitrogen had less firmness. Am I correct?
Yes.
And also, it was there was another one. It was lower firmness.
It was, it was. They were less firm. They greater starch degradation.
Right. Right. We found that in Fuji, Red Delicious and Delicious, the Red Delicious, Fuji, and Golden Delicious, that with the higher level of nitrogen, you increase respiration and ethylene consistently. So that is something to look at. I don't know if you're looking at the ethylene evolution.
We have not been looking at ethylene evolution specifically, but also from a cider making perspective, you want to have more fully ripened fruit because the firmness of the fruit isn't of importance because you're going to juice it. So we're not okay. It's not really an issue.
Great job. Thank you. Questions?
Yes.
There are
very few apples out there that have both the acidity and tannins to provide both. So traditionally, you have more apples being combined together to bring all these different things together. If you think about cooking a dish, you bring all these different flavors together, and they balance each other out. So the same thing happens in apples, and also in winemaking as well. Traditionally, grapes are blended as.
Treetop is one of the largest apple juice company, as you may know. They are very much interested in certain proportion when they are making applesauce. For example, they like to have a fair amount of rum and rum and Golden Delicious for baby food when they prepare apples for baby food. So it gives that better texture and the better quality they want. And I've seen a few cider makers in Idaho that they believe that combination of certain varieties, they almost each one, they are saying their own secret formula, that how much of each one they mix.
Yes, go ahead.
What would happen if you, under lower nitrogen, if you waited until they mature? Would that be because you said the high nitrogen mature early.
So if you could wait longer for them to mature, or you could let them sit in storage longer and more of that starch would turn to sugar. But I wouldn't expect for there to be any additional polyphenols to develop in the fruit or for there to be additional nitrogen that would show up there. Unless you would have some desiccation of the fruit and you just concentrated everything by losing water. And these weren't huge differences. I found, but I think from a commercial perspective, it wouldn't be, they wouldn't make a huge difference. If you just waited a couple of days, you'd wind up where the high treatment fruit were.
Great. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for your patience and some of the difficulty that we have with this newer system. Thank you.